Thank you, as always. Thank you. This is Gabriel, by the way. Some of you may remember.
All right. I would love to be able to say some of you may remember when he was just this tall, but he's never been this tall. He's always been way tall. And it is good to have him with us. Is that Emma all the way back there? Yeah, see, you thought you were going to hide and everything. Stephanie's son and daughter are with us. And thank you so much for sharing that. And choir, always thanking you for your music. It is a gift of music. It is the gift of you. In fact, some of you probably remember the gift of music that I have shared with you in years past. How many of you remember last year? Remember the Hamilton parody I did? Remember that? All right. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Remember how all that went? Some of you may remember the Christmas Shepherd rap I did a few years ago. Just saying. All right. And so tonight, instead of a lump of coal, for your listening pleasure, I present to you Percy, the puny poinsettia. Percy the puny poinsettia is hanging his bloom in dismay. If they had just kept him wetta, he'd be a houseplant today. Folks like the other plants better. And now he's alone on the shelf. But even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Holiday shoppers would stop at the counter and pick out a plant to go home. One at a time, all his friends were adopted till Percy was left all alone. Percy the puny poinsettia is hanging his bloom in dismay. If they had just kept him wetta, he'd be a houseplant today. Folks like the other plants better. Now he's alone on the shelf. But even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Then into the shop on the night before Christmas came a poor little girl who was crying. But when she saw Percy, her eyes opened wide, and she said, "Can I please make him mine?" Doesn't really rhyme. Now Percy the puny poinsettia is standing beside Mr. Tree. His leaves have never been redder. He's as proud as a flower can be. Somebody made him feel better, rescued him off of the shelf. Because even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. So, the song reminds us that love and a care and a sense of belonging are all elements of God's transforming grace. How sometimes we are the ones who are in need of being rescued. And sometimes we need to be the rescuers. Sometimes the transforming power of God's grace comes to us, but we get distracted and we don't get it right away. Years ago in the Korean War, soldier rotates off of the front line, back at the barracks, finally gets to have a shower, a hot shower, gets to have a hot meal. Goes into the barracks and gets to lie on a cot. And he's lying there and he's thinking of home and his wife and his children. And someone is playing the radio, got that Blue Lagoon type of music just playing. And his heart just bursts open. And he gets out a pencil and paper and he writes a letter, one of the most beautiful letters, just pours his heart. As he writes the letter to his wife about how much he loves her and misses her and how blessed he feels by the family that they have. Well, it takes weeks, of course, for the letter to get across the ocean and across the states and to where they live. She grabs the letter when she grabs the bills and all the other mail that she has because she's got two sick kids And she's got to go to the doctor, and she goes to the doctor, and he gives him a prescription, and now she's off to the pharmacist, and she goes to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist says, it's going to take me a little while. I'll get to it as fast as I can. Why don't you go over to the counter? Back in those days, drugstores had counters. She gets the kids a soda, trying to calm them down because they're crying and they're agitated and they're restless and they're frustrated. And give them a soda. Yeah, give them sugar. That's a good idea. And she starts going through the bills as they're drinking. She sees the letter and she opens it up and she puts it back and stuffs it in her purse. But that night, after the kids have had their supper, and they've had their bath, and they put on their pajamas, you know, the kind that roll up from the feet and go all the way up to the neck, and they've had the medicine, and they're laying in bed, and they finally fall asleep. And she's in the house alone, and it's quiet, and she remembers the letter. And the radio is playing, and she opens up the letter, it's that Blue Lagoon type music, and she feels that love. Her husband just pouring out his heart to her. And she feels that connection, that love, that grace that God has blessed them with in their lives. The transforming power of God's grace. Renewing that connection, reminding her of that relationship, reminding them of a love that can never be broken. Now, what's changed? The war is still going on. The children are still sick. She and her husband are still half a world away. And yet now she feels connected like she never has before. That's the power of God's transforming grace given to us in Jesus Christ. The way in which he can come to us and help us understand the importance of relationships and the changes that that can make in our lives. Young Michael is 4 years old. His mom is pregnant. Dad is in the picture. He's a good dad. He's a good mom. And the baby is coming along. It's going to be a girl. And they've already picked out a name. It's going to be Grace. And they're beginning to work on the bedroom to make it into a nice nursery. And every night, Michael sings into his mother's womb to baby Grace. Jesus loves you, this I know. You know the song? For the Bible. There you go. Every night, singing that song into the womb. Unfortunately, about the 7th month, a complication arises. A serious complication. The baby is born and the baby is premature. And the baby's heartbeat is irregular and its breathing is irregular. And it's in ICU. And the doctors are doing everything they can. They're providing the medications. They're doing what they can. But finally, it is obvious that the medications are not having the effect that they want. And they have a heart-wrenching conversation with mom and dad. We're sorry. We've done everything we can. There's nothing more we could do. Mom is determined. Michael is determined. He wants to sing one more time to his baby sister. And so she dresses him up in the gowns and the surgical cap. There is a 4-year-old looking like a walking laundry basket coming into the ICU. And he can't see the bed. If you've ever been in neonatal, the beds are raised so that the nurses can work on him. They're not at a 4-year-old can't see. But once again, Michael's encouraged to sing. Go ahead and sing to Grace. Jesus loves you. No, for the... And the monitors, for the first time, begin to come down. For the first time, the heartbeat shows steady strength. The breathing becomes regular. The nurses rush to the baby. Is everything okay? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. A reminder that God's love that God loves you wherever you are, even when you can't see it. Michael never saw Grace. Couldn't see her in the womb. He can't see her in the ICU on the bed. But he continues to plant that seed of hope that Grace will know that God is loving her, that God is with her. The transforming power of God's grace brings healing. It brings hope. It brings love. It brings miracles to impossible situations. That no matter how difficult, no matter how unlikely it seems that the circumstances might be, you can never rule out God's grace. God has a way of working in situations where everybody else thinks it's hopeless. And God goes to work and says, it's just begun. It's just begun. Because God's grace brings transformation. And when you look at all the Christmas stories that you know, it's always about transformation. The Grinch, remember the Grinch? Who is totally transformed when he discovers that Christmas is not about presents or decorations. What about Scrooge? Transforms a mean-spirited, selfish, greedy miser into a generous, gracious, and loving person. And Charlie Brown's Christmas tree, do you remember that? The scrawny little thing, no, not like me, the scrawny little thing, nothing but a dried out twig. And then Linus reads the Christmas story, reads the Word of God, reads the birth of Jesus Christ. And do you remember how that happened? And what happened? The tree is transformed. The whole group of kids become a single community, all of them together, praising God. Remembering how God reaches out to us always, that there is no darkness that God's light cannot pierce. There is no place that God's love cannot reach. And there is no person that God's grace does not cover. God comes to us vulnerable as a baby so that we can embrace this truth. God comes to us to be with us and to love us, not to judge us, not to condemn us. God comes to us to heal us of our wounds, our shame, our guilt, our feelings of unworthiness. God comes to us as a baby because babies accept us as we are. And so I want to give you four truths for Christmas. Dance like Frosty. Shine like Rudolph. Give like Santa. And most of all, love like Jesus. Because that's what Christmas is all about. The transforming power of God's love and grace. Amen.